Blog Talk Radio.
Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday afternoon edition of Psychics Gone Wild. I'm thrilled today. We have a new guest, Jade Luna. And I am going... Jade, are you there?
Yes, I am. And thank you for inviting me here.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited. But I don't think that I can do your bio justice because there's just so much there. And I love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners this afternoon.
My name is Jade Luna. I've been an astrologer for about 18 years, and a lot of my training was in India. And I have one book out now on astrology called Asterian Astrology, The Lost System of Alexander the Great, and I have another book coming out at the end of this year, which is just a basic book about the ancient 27 signs, not the modern 12. And my campaign right now as an astrologer is to introduce the oldest form of astrology known to man to people that was used by the Sumerians, the Egyptians, and now traces of their system are only used in India. So I'm trying to bring the system out publicly for the West.
Wow, that sounds like quite a daunting task. So not knowing that much about astrology, I can tell that this isn't the stuff that you read in Cosmopolitan magazine that tells you whether you're going to get lucky that month or not. This is really a much more evolved spiritual practice, not just a parlor game, for lack of a better term. So why don't you explain to the listeners, you know, some of the high points of how it differs from what they might be, you know, people who don't follow astrology, you know, who's the only
great
understanding
question
of astrology is the signs and the stuff in the newspaper.
Well, first and foremost, which makes me very controversial, and some people, there are some shows I visit often to talk about the subject, and some that won't even have me on it, because I am conflicting completely with the Western system of astrology to begin with. Real short, this Earth, it wobbles. It doesn't have an even rotation. And when they made the calculations for what we call Western astrology, they did not calculate the wobble of the Earth's axis. So when people say, I'm this sign, I'm that sign, they're actually not those signs at all. So on one level, you know, this came out a few years ago. An astronomer, Park Kunkel in Minnesota, said, well, not only you're not the sign that you think you are, there's this 13th sign of Ophiuchus. All this information came out about the zodiac being wrong, and pretty much New York and the publishing industry bagged the story within 24 to 48 hours. You had Sue Miller get out there and say, please change this, because people weren't downloading their horoscopes anymore. It created all this confusion. And then everybody went back to their sign, but oddly enough, that information was all true. And so after that had happened, my book had came out the exact same week that information came out, and I've been trying to further people into shifting their zodiac and their sign, because there is no correlation between Western astrology and where the zodiac is at anymore.
I remember when that was like back in maybe like 2011 or something.
It was January of 2011. It was the same week my book came out, which was this extreme coincidence, if there is such thing, where my book came out saying the Western zodiac is wrong, and that information came out literally the same day. And so it was quite an interesting experience. And it was all right, but everybody went back because Sue Miller said, oh, we follow the system of the Babylonians, so please go back to your sign. And I stood up and said, actually, you don't follow the system of the Babylonians. I do. And I have been able to verify that through Harvard and through Yale both, that I'm actually using the real system of astrology, the Babylonians and the Greeks and the ancient Egyptians, where this 12-sign system we're using now has no correlation to the zodiac anymore.
fascinating. So this was sort of like, you know, when the United States periodically talks about changing to the metric system. They just like, never mind this because we already all have our gold chains with either our, you know, our fish or this. We have too much, right, and all the tattoos and the, you know, everything all through time. Think of the lawsuits. Think, you know, Western culture just doesn't, you know, there's so many things in Western culture where we don't really care if it's like we'll say things over and over again until they become the truth. And
that's, you know, that's my big thing. And I have on my website at AsterianAstrology.com, which is what this system is called, Asterian, spelled A-S-T-E-R-I-A-N, which means star-based astrology. Asteria was originally the goddess of astrology in ancient culture to begin with, which astrology was originally based upon the mother goddess. But it's, you know, Asteria means star-based, which means actually the capacity to look up into the stars, find the planets in the constellations, and draw a zodiac. See, here's where the conflict is. Any Western astrologer you know cannot take you out at night and show you the star constellations and the planets moving through them, because any Western astrologer that chooses to learn to do that would realize there's absolutely no correlation between what they're saying and what's really up in the sky. And so I've been saying repeatedly, our ancient astrology ancestors built planetariums and observatories to calculate the planets moving through the constellations as perfectly as possible, and we now, as Western astrologers do, ignore entirely.
Wow. Like so many other things we ignore entirely, you know, this is too much, so actually one of my favorite blog talk hostesses is in the chat room, and she says that she is actually this 13th sign.
Yofuikus, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what an upuri, I can't even say the word right. What this 13th
sign? It's not an easy word to pronounce.
It's
technically pronounced a fuikus.
Okay, a fuikus.
Yes.
So, what are some of the key characters? You know, what are some of the key characteristics associated with people born under that sign?
I love the question first and foremost because it's my biggest conflict with the Western zodiac to begin with. That is, see, Ophiuchus as a constellation was so similar to Scorpio. Now, that's ancient Scorpio, not modern Scorpio. These 12 signs that we're talking about now are new in the way they're being discussed. They weren't like this in ancient time, but Ophiuchus, its symbol was an eagle, and they merged the first part of Scorpio into Ophiuchus because they were very similar in consciousness. But we see Scorpios or Ophiuchus in ancient culture as being the light bringers. We don't give Scorpios to black. We give Scorpio to the color gold, and it deals with people that are connected to transforming the subconscious mind. Oddly enough, the darker traits that people find in Scorpio, we attribute to Libra, as Libra was the dark side of the goddess Aphrodite, so all the lust and all those things we originally associated with Scorpio, we've given to Libra. But we give Scorpio to great transformation and going through great and powerful changes. And the two animals ruling over Ophiuchus are an eagle and a rabbit, and it deals with spiritual transformation. That's what the sign is all about. And everyone born under Ophiuchus on some level relates to that because they're people that kind of rise, you know, through challenge and then become people who become vehicle of changes for other people.
Well, that explains my friend Chris in a nutshell. She insists that she's not psychic and doesn't have all these special gifts and is just a mere radio host, but just her selection of guests and just, you know, what she brings forth explains.
Can she tell me what her birthday is?
We'll get it out of the chat room in a second.
Because we have, in my system, we have three types of Scorpios to begin with. I don't really like the 12 signs very much because the ancient priest class has always kept the 27 signs to themselves and only wanted priests to learn it. Even in India to this day, where it's the only place that uses ancient Arabian and Egyptian astrology, which is India, their priests still keep the 27 signs to themselves. So me unleashing these 27 signs on people India doesn't like the idea. And I went to school in India to be an astrologer, so even my teachers were like, you know, this is private information. I, on the other hand, because the Babylonians made the information public, believe we should actually have this information to be public as well. So we have three types of Scorpios in this system, three types of Leos, three types of Virgos, but the type that you are is even more important than the sign. Like, the three types of Scorpios are so vastly different than from one another, I don't believe we can categorize them all Scorpios to begin with.
Interesting, interesting. Now, she's typing, it is, her birthday is December 14th.
Okay, she's a parka. And you can, on my website, at asterianastrology.com,
with Dr.
parka
Sharon
is ruled by
the chat room for the people who are there. So,
she is a parka, and parka is ruled by the, what's that?
I was just saying that I've been sharing your website, a link to your website chat room for those who are following along so they can get the information. So she's a parker? Saying the word right?
P-A-R-C-A.
Is it like the coat you put on?
Okay. No, a parka, which was the name of the ancient goddesses of fate. They were goddess of birth, life, and death. When they were wrapped up into one forest, they were called the parka. At least that was the Roman term for them. Parka is ruled by the planet Mercury, so it is very, and as my website states, it's very common for communicators and for people that deal with communication in general. So her planet now would be Mercury, the planet of communication.
And that she is. She is a fabulous communicator, both as a blog talk host and in her career, where she's a union representative and negotiators, where you have to choose your words carefully. So let me ask you something about me, since I was born on September 23rd. So when we use the newspaper astrology or the Cosmopolitan, I am right on the cusp of Virgo and Libra. Now, with your it's not yours, but with this astrology program, do I move?
Western astrology officially as of this week has become 24 degrees off the star constellations. You are unique in the fact that you don't change your sign. You're a late Virgo in incorrect astrology and a very early Virgo in correct astrology, but I call you a Hymenaeus, spelled H-Y-M-E-N-A-E-U-S, Hymenaeus. As it says, Hymenaeus indicates a person who's helpful, kind, caring, sincere, and courageous. It's one of the signs that deals with, in India, they call it the sign of selfless service. The issue with Hymenaeus is it's a burden carrier, and they end up carrying the burdens of other people often. Its animal symbol is a bull, and we see in India the bull as being the great carrier of burden because it carries the load of Shiva, their god of power, on his back. So we see Hymenaeus as being a burden carrier and carrying the weight of the universe on their shoulders. But there are also people that I'm happy you're doing your show, because Hymenaeus people can often get so caught up in other people's lives they can forget about their own.
Oh, yeah, because I'm empath to the point where I can't, unless I am very vigilant and meditate and clear stuff out, I'll be walking around with stuff that I think is mine, and it's actually the person that was in front of me in the grocery store.
That's exactly
so,
Hymenaeus.
And it caused a lot of, it's never too late to learn. It's never, ever too late to learn. But I sure wish I knew some of this stuff a little earlier in life. Probably would have, could have saved some money on a lot of trips to the shrink. But, this is really, really interesting. I think that the thing that, at least what I'm picking up, and I'm sure our listeners are as well, is it makes sense. When you just described me, to a T, it just, when, the wrong ones or the incorrect astrology sort of does, but never really, really wrong true. Now, let me ask you one other thing, and then we've got
some
callers, and I'm sure they're going to want to know some stuff, because this is really good, and I'm getting goosebumps. So when I get goosebumps, I can tell the person I'm speaking to is telling the truth. So it's exciting. What was I just, now I can't think of what it was. Oh, okay. So now there's enough, and you have to forgive me because I don't know much about astrology. I never really gave it much.
Trust me, that helps me out tremendously.
Other than a other than as a fashion state, you know, other than as a fashion statement, and but there's that astrology where everyone has their own sign, the astrology based on an individual's birth date. Now, what is that? I don't know what that's called, but do you know what I'm talking about?
I think there was a book that came out called The Secret Language of Birthdays.
Yes.
And it could be what you're referring to, where they actually use your birth date even more than, like, your sign and all those things. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little cult around that, which I actually like that book. I think it's very informative, and it's not so much about Western astrology. But I do know people who live by that book and that way of thinking.
So let me ask you something. How did we get off track and
awesome
end
question.
Up with bad astrology, astrology?
I love the question, and I will be the first person on this earth to clarify this, and this is where the mistake happened. There were two forms of science that was the job of the astronomer in ancient time. One was calculating the position of the zodiac perfectly. The other one was creating a calendar. Creating the calendar around the sun and the moon in its positions, and then astrology, were the single most important acts for an astronomer in ancient time. And astrologers and astronomers were once the same thing. So the 12-month calendar was formulated perfectly about 1,900 years ago. Oddly enough, at the same time that we started using the calendar that we're using right now, see, the calendar we're using right now, we started using 1,900 years ago. The zodiac and its 12 signs aligned perfectly with the 12-month calendar 1,900 years ago. And it was the first time the zodiac aligned with our 12-month calendar. It was the first time that happened in 26,000 years. Now, 1,900 years ago, Rome started making astrology illegal and created anti-divination laws. So astrology in the West had to go underground. We today, now it's important to note the zodiac is constantly moving. It doesn't stay in the same place. We are using the dates of the zodiac where it was located 1,900 years ago, where the zodiac has eventually moved way off that now. Now, which is also strange to note that most of this planet does use real astrology. India and Tibet, Peru and Egypt still use the real zodiac. That's why I'm trying to get us to use it. But so why the error was made, Rome made astrology illegal, and so people couldn't calculate the zodiac in public. They would be killed for that. And so over 500 to 600 years of that being a rule, astrology never gained its momentum in the West. But nevertheless, India and Tibet still constantly used the real zodiac and followed its dimensions perfectly. So that alignment.
And used it for real purposes, not just for entertainment.
India is a culture that is absorbed in astrology more than any culture on this earth. And there are more astrologers in India than anywhere else on the planet. And it's the only country that's still, other than Tibet, that uses real astrology.
Fascinating.
So in short, yes, the 12-month calendar aligned with the zodiac for the first time in 1,900 years, and we're still using those dates.
So that was just kind of a fluke. It was just sort of when moon, stars, and everything lined up, and we took a snapshot when it was actually a dynamic moving.
The zodiac aligns with the seasons only once every 26,000 years. It just happened to do this 1,900 years ago, and that's why I'm compelled to make this transition happen so we can start using the zodiac. And remember, there's no Western astrologer out there that says, oh, yeah, I can take you out at night and show you where the planets and the constellations are, because they would realize it's all wrong. Now, their rebuttal, Western astrologers' rebuttal, is we know we don't follow the stars. We follow the seasons. That's the rebuttal, and my rebuttal is quite simple. The seasons are different on this planet. You cannot apply northern hemisphere seasons to the whole globe and call that astrology, because the seasons in Australia are the exact opposite of ours. So they're using the Western Zodiac too, which makes it not seasonal at all.
Yeah, and seasons aren't, yeah, that's really sort of fascinating, because just not even knowing, you know, not even really knowing that much about what you're talking about. It's like, well, the seasons are the seasons, and that's one thing. And the stars are the stars, and that's another thing. So it's like, oh, fine.
You're right. You're right.
A lot of seasons, but we're not studying seasonology. We're studying astrology.
You just nailed something that a lot of astrologers, you nailed that. You nailed that, and a lot of astrologers have not figured that out yet. Astrology, the word means science of the stars, not science of the season to begin with.
Right.
The science of the seasons is what we call a calendar. That's what the calendar's about. It's not about the science of the stars.
Oh, silly humans. We're just so silly. I mean, you know, you've got to laugh. You really, honestly, you have to laugh. But,
well, I'm glad
that
you are, because I have slight anxiety before every new show, because there have been many shows where I come out and start, and if the host is an astrologer and she knows astrology inside and out, we end up in a debate that the astrologer ends up losing. And it ends up being a situation where I never come back again. And that's happened to me a lot.
Us silly humans, we would rather be right than happy, you know? So
yeah.
It's like, you know, and
well, this puts a lot of astrologers out of business.
It's difficult.
You know?
Right, exactly. It's difficult, but this is actually, to me, it's just fascinating because
especially
I'm just
when you look at
so
other
many
people.
Levels.
When you look at other people, like I'm making cases by using celebrities, like Steve Jobs. In Western astrology, he is a Pisces. In proper astrology, he's an Aquarius, and he's about as Aquarian as they come. He created Apple, which is the job of an Aquarius, not a Pisces. Then you look at Beyonce, the star. Well, in Western astrology, she's a Virgo. In my system, she's a Leo. Sasha Fierce is a Leo, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use Christian Bell. He's cold and dark and kind of gloomy. In my system, or proper astrology, he's a Capricorn, not an Aquarius. And so when I start using celebrities, people are starting to go, wait a minute, that actually is weird. Those people do fit the signs before, not the signs that they were given.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you sold me when... explain the thing about the seasons. You know, the seasons are the seasons and the stars are the stars. And, well, I'm sure that there's some, there are two different things. So before I just take up all the time, I'm sure that some of our callers have questions. So for those of you who are calling in, as you can see, we're very blessed to have a very knowledgeable and talented astrologer. Not a medium, not a psychic, so please limit your questions to things that you're talking about. You can call back next week and find out if your boyfriend's going to call or you're going to get that job and stuff. So because we're very, very lucky to have them. So I just want to make sure that we use our time for the highest good. So first person here in the queue is 503. 503, are you there?
Hi, it's October.
Hi, October.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. So I have a question.
Yeah.
I did my daughter's Vedic astrology chart, and I don't know how similar it is to what you're doing. I think it's kind of basically the same, right?
Great question. And Alexander the Great was responsible for bringing Egyptian astrology to India. Modern Jyotish is from Egypt and Greece, and I've just made Jyotish, I took it back to its Western roots and made it look more Westernized. They're the same thing.
Okay.
Different names for the signs, and that's it.
So I did her chart, and in her longevity house, it's in the enemy house, and ever since then, I've been really disturbed. Because I read up, I'm like, there's still a lot I don't understand, but reading that, you know, her... longevity is in the enemy house, and read that, you know, she was going to meet some, like, horrible demise, you know? I mean, and she's 5 years old, and, you know, I mean, like, you know, it's a concern for a mom. So what do you do with that information? It's kind of, I mean, to me, I guess I see it as kind of like our life blueprint, you know, that
like
we can look at it.
Favorite question of all time. When I went to, because I went to, in India, again, you have to have an education to be an astrologer. It's not like it is here. But my first year... I was observing my own chart through an astrologer, and I have three alignments for a short life. Three. Not one, not two, but three. So I spent a year walking around thinking I was going to be dead pretty soon. This is where bringing the older book into play, the Yavana Jataka, which is the book that I've translated into English, which is the book that Alexander the Great brought to India and created Jyotish. See, their beliefs of free will were different, and this is where I still like the Mediterranean over India and its beliefs of free will and destiny, and this will answer your question. India is extremely fatalistic. I don't think I've ever dealt with a culture, and I've dealt with many, as fatalistic as India. India doesn't believe in free will at all. The Egyptians held the belief I subscribe to, which I believe is true, which astrology is energy. It's like the weather of the universe, and it is destined. But you have free will on how you respond to that energy. It's like weather. You can't control the weather, but you can control how you respond to the weather. So what happens when you see an alignment, which I see every day, this has been my job for 18 years, of short life, it has absolutely nothing to do with how long they live on this planet. So, but it does deal with someone who's going to go through a series of major transformations. And it means that, and I have this alignment that your daughter has as well, by the way. And I do anticipate being around at least into my 80s because of what I've learned that counteracts a little bit of what Vedic astrology says. But it does mean that her life is going to be filled with powerful transitions. But no, she will not pass on early.
Yay! No, I mean, seriously, it is like totally weighed on my brain. I'm like, I wish I wouldn't have done her chart. I wish, I mean, because it's always back there in the back of my mind. You know?
Contact me personally for reading, and I'll correct all that information, that was given to you, because I do a lot of correction with Vedic astrology, because I think Vedic astrology is far too fatalistic, and I think it's its number one flaw.
Right. Yeah, no, it was just a free online chart thing that, you know, Astrobix or whatever, and I don't know enough about it to really understand. I mean, I had only recently found out about it, and then I went on and I did the chart. I'm like, oh my God, that's terrible.
No, Indian astrology is right, and I'm telling everybody, if you know, end up not liking me and you don't want to follow Austerian astrology, please go to Indian astrology, but you do have to get past there are very fatalistic viewpoints, and you are not the only person on this planet that is walking around right now thinking something bad is going to happen to someone or somebody they love because of Indian astrology. But they see, we now are in an age where we can live longer than we did then as well. And see, when Vedic astrology was created, people's lifespan was pretty much about 50 years old, 30 to 50, and that was the average lifespan. So in those conditions, yes, I do believe that they were right, and your daughter would be affected by that. In modern day, it means a series of powerful transitions.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And I definitely have already looked you up. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am. Okay. Yeah. Astrian Astrology, Jade Saloon, Astrian Astrology is the Facebook page, and we'll be talking about these things all the time.
Okay.
I've been adding links to his website in the chat, but we will put the links on the Psychics Gone Wild page as well. But if you look at his website, there is information about the readings and some classes and stuff, but it's also a very robust and informative website. It's not just a place you go to make contact. There's a lot of good information that I urge all the listeners to
thank you.
To go read up on.
Little clip of 3 minutes. I encourage everyone to read that or listen to that 3 minute clip on my first page. No astrologer has ever said that in the history of astrology. And that it is the reason why it's wrong and things we've discussed. But I just encourage people go to my website to listen to the 3 minute YouTube clip on the front page.
Thank you.
I will. That's great news. And that's kind of interesting because, you know, I have recently, I don't know, most of the people who are listening know my story, but recently developed sort of this obsession with the Bible because when my husband died, I went into light and Jesus talked to me and he was really the only person who made sense. So, you know, I'm thinking now that the Bible's saying not, you know, to avoid astrology because it was the bogus astrology because they had taken the, it was distorted from the truth. So there's always like, I've come to believe that everything in the Bible, if you just read it sentence by sentence, it's got some sort of, it's got its roots in the truth. I just never, the story behind the story. So this is really very, very, very interesting to me. Now
let me address that one thing.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, wait, hold on. Jade was going to say something.
Oh, what I was going to say just real quick is, also in ancient time, priests and astrologers were always at battle of which one was the most spiritual. And that was mm-hmm. where most of the conflict had come from, because both of them had a significant impact on people. And eventually, a bunch of phrases were inserted in the Bible between the Old Testament and New Testament, making it bad. But originally was considered right. God's time clock, and wasn't separated from Christ consciousness at all.
Right, because duh, it's from God. I mean, I believe that if you believe in God, you believe God made the stars, so, and he put them where they're supposed to be, and now I must be telling the truth because I'm getting tingles. It's all, you know, the story behind the story, and it usually has something to do with follow the money. But anyway, 814, are you there?
Yes.
Do you have a question?
Hello?
Do you have a question?
Hello?
Hi. Okay, how do you need my birth date or anything like that, or?
Depends on your question, yeah.
Okay, well, I do have a personal question.
Okay.
It's career related.
Okay. And now, when's your birthday?
July 20th, 71.
July 20th, 71. You are a Zeus, by the way, which it's a form of Cancer. And right at this moment, Saturn is squaring your sun, so you are in the midst of a transition. Things will get back aligned for you in December. And 2014 will be quite a remarkable and powerful year for you, because 2013 was meant to be a drag and was meant to clear out a bunch of challenging energy. So in December, you will start feeling these changes clearing out, and you'll even experience a whole new momentum in your career next year. But this year, because Saturn has squared your sun all this year, this was not meant to be an easy year for you at all.
And it wasn't.
Yeah, 2013 was sun squaring your Saturn the whole year, because sun is squaring Zeus. Even still, it's happening as we're talking now. That changes in December. And you'll feel doors open in your career that haven't opened in quite some time going into the new year.
Okay, because I
did have... But you can be specific. If you have something more specific, you can throw it in there.
Okay, well, I did have an interview last week, and it's a government position, so they do take a long time. So do you think that I will get this job?
Good question, and see... I will tell you this without having your chart and just looking at your sun sign. The longer the wait, the better. If you end up getting information in the next week or week and a half, it's not going to be information you want. So hopefully, this is what I'll say, that you find out after November 28th. It's when we start moving the new month. But right at this moment, you're not under alignments for receiving good news. That changes in December.
Okay.
But you are coming out of this, so even if, let me tell you this, if this doesn't happen now, it doesn't matter. Something will replace it right away. December is when things start to really pick up in your chart. It's not impossible to me that you could get this job, and it just starts in December. But it's December where things start to move.
That's when it would.
Okay. Well, that's a good sign. I like that. But it's December when everything starts to move for you again, and you're out of this dreadful phase that's been going on since literally August of last year.
Yep, that's when it started.
Yeah, last year, August, Saturn started to square your sun August 1st of last year, and you're still in it. Ends in a couple weeks. So the good news, you got a great year coming, much better than what you have been dealing with.
You mean August of 2012?
Yep.
Yep, that's when it started.
August of 2012, and then it bled into the new year and consumed almost this whole year and would stay there until December.
Yep, that's exactly when it started.
That's affected a lot, not just work, too. That's affected in a lot of what's going on in your life internally and in relationships as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Big year, I'll speak candidly about it because you're about a month away from the ending. It's almost over. But that was one of the most dreadful phases of your life. Yep.
Well, that's exciting. That's great news. I don't mean to rush this, but we've got a lot of people in the queue, so I didn't mean to... mute her before she could say thank you, but I'm sure she's sorry.
I got it.
We've got to go zipping through here. So now we've got 570, and I urge people to just ask a quick question, and if you'd like to get a reading or more detail, you know, reach out to him on the website, because we do have a lot of people in the queue. So with that, I'll be quiet. Okay, so now we've got 570.
Yes. Hello, Amy. Hello, Jade.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Doreen. I'm a Pisces. My birthday is March the 20th of 59. And my question would be, I feel like I have a little bit of psychic ability. Would I at some point be able to develop that ability enough to do something with it to help other people?
Well, first of all, you said you were born when again? March 20th?
Okay. Yes, March the 20th of 59.
March the 20th of 59. I'm actually pulling up your sign here and some of your birth information. Yeah, and you're unique in the fact that you do not shift signs, by the way, because like I said, most people have a sign before. You are called a porcus in the system, which is spelled P-H-O-R-C-U-S.
Okay.
And not only this, with your, I pulled up your whole chart here, the position of your Neptune in relationship to the star Porcus absolutely makes you a psychic. Very interesting to note, the ancient culture of Rome called Porcus the photographer. Now, obviously they didn't have cameras then, so the word meant something very different. The word photography was a memory that could actually absorb energy and information and relay facts to people. And so we saw the star Porcus as an actual psychic to begin with. We see the axis of Virgo, which we have here on the show, and Pisces being the strongest in relationship to psychic intuition. But here's the thing, what I was saying. We gave intuition to Virgo.
Okay.
And we give the ability to have images come to the mind with Porcus, which is what their version of Porcus was they would have slight images come through their mind, and they would interpret them. And so, yeah, it already is a sign. It even stresses this in my book, that people born as star Porcus are very aware and very psychic, and it's one of the ways we even define the sign. So I think it's even something you should move into.
Okay, because I've had, like, a little bit of, you know, different happenings here and there, but I just feel like I'm not, like, finding the right road to go down to develop my abilities.
Well, here's what my book, just for two sentences about your sign, maybe three here. Porcus indicates a person with a good discipline, speaking and writing skills, who's cheerful, generous, self-sacrificing, highly intuitive. And so we, even the ancients, now that was their version of your sign written 2,300 years ago. And they even then at that time saw the sign as a very intuitive, highly psychic sign. But I believe that this upcoming summer, when Jupiter goes into Cancer, which starts May of this year, of this upcoming year, will help you focus your intuitive self. It'll help you find a channel for it that's even greater than what you're experiencing now. Between now and May, I would say get yourself as prepared as possible for that awakening. It's in May that you'll feel an incredible opening in your work as a psychic.
Well, that's really enlightening. I want to thank you so very much for the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the things I would urge you to do, unrelated to astrology, to build this, and I urge people to do this all the time, is listen in to the Blog Talk Radio shows when people are giving psychic readings, and just give the readings to, you know, and see what you pull. It's a great way to practice, and it's a really, really good way to practice, because I have found that most people who want to be psychics are psychics. People, are more in tune with their clairs. You know, people who don't want to be psychic, they still have clairs. They're just not going to, you know, they're just not going to develop them, like artists or athletes or all of those other things. We all have those gifts. But if you're receiving a calling to do so, that calling's probably coming from spirit. I doubt it's coming from your guidance counselor at school or your mother or your husband or some, you know, there's not so many people there just walking and say, oh, yeah, you know, the real estate market's down. Why don't you go be a psychic? It's probably coming from spirit. It's a great way. It's a great way to practice. It's really, really.
No, I believe as well it is coming from spirit, you know. I mean, I've seen people that have crossed over and they're on the other side, and I've visualized them, you know. And, I mean, I've gotten a lot of different messages and experiences, so I just want to embrace the gift.
Yeah, just lean into the energy. I mean, it's all the energetic work. Just lean into it. But really a great way to, it's really a lot of it has to do with confidence. And I'm getting goosebumps, so I must be telling the truth. A lot of it has to do with just building our confidence and learning how to deliver the message. Great way to do that. I love, like, listening to the blog talk shows. Instead of putting my hand up for a reading, I go for the exclusive purpose of practicing. And I can practice not just pulling forth the energy, but I can practice like what I would say, you know, if I'm home alone, I'll just say it out loud, you know, put my phone on, the phone's on mute. It's a wonderful venue to practice. So, and what, you know, the people who are supposed to be doing, you know, we need all hands on deck as far as healers go, because we're sort of in a unsustainable little, we've gotten ourselves in a little bit of a mess. So if you've got it, they're probably calling you to, you know, to suit up and help out, because we're in quite a pickle. Anyway, I'm going to mute you, and good luck with that. And
thank you so very much.
Keep us posted. Thank you.
Thank you. I will.
Okay. Whoops. Sorry. Cut you off. I didn't mean to. Okay. 541, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thank you. This is fascinating, because I've studied astrology since I was in my teens, and I was probably an astrologer in another lifetime, because things would just come when I look at somebody's chart, and if they looked away, I couldn't see anything, and if they looked at me and I was looking at the chart, all of a sudden information would start channeling through, so it was pretty interesting. But I'm by Western, a Capricorn born on December 24th, 1952, and I'm wondering what you can tell me that is now, and what's happening in the stars now.
You
a lot
are,
of changes.
You are called a Hecate, which is a type of Sagittarius. And it's the very first form, and Hecate is the name of the goddess of magic. It's considered to be the most mystical of the 27 signs. I have a book out about astrology, but I also have two books out about the goddess Hecate and your sign. Because Hecate was originally the goddess of astrology herself. Her mother was Asteria, the stars. It's a very mystical placement in the zodiac, and I'm telling you, when you read my versions of the star Hecate, which you're born under, it will help you understand things you've never understood. Capricorn is fine, but I guarantee that you're going to respond way more to the star Hecate with what you just said. And she was the goddess of mediumship. She was the goddess of astrology. And it's a very powerful sign to be born under. So much so, my first central book is dedicated to this sign, because it's a very mystical placement in the zodiac, and its symbol is a bunch of roots or herbs tied up together. Hecate eventually, and this is a positive statement, not a negative, became the goddess of witches. She was the goddess of liberated women, and women who were on their own able to access deep dimensions of spiritual consciousness. So in Catholicism, she was demonized first, because her association to the universe was liberating women, but she was also a goddess of mystical abilities. So yeah, I have a book out on Asterian astrology, but I have two out on the goddess Hecate, which is your sign, the name of your sign.
Interesting. So in the heavens right now, is there anything going on about relationship changes? That for me, I just ended a relationship day before yesterday.
Right. Well, let me address this more on a global sense. This is the importance that you know astrology of using the real zodiac. Saturn right now is not in Scorpio. Saturn is in Libra. And I said about 2 years ago on several radio shows, and I'm still saying it now, when Saturn goes into Libra, which happened last year and stays there till November of next year, very few relationships will make it. Very few. Libra is the constellation of love and marriage and contracts. And Saturn is a planet of restriction and delay. And he's exalted in Libra. Because Libra, again, by the way, was the dark sign, not Scorpio. We gave that to Libra because Saturn, the planet of darkness, was exalted in Libra, not Scorpio. Because the ancients saw Libra as a darker sign. But so Saturn going through Libra has shaken the foundation of almost all relationships. And only the real relationships on this earth will survive. And one of my clients recently said, well, what a general statement you said a couple years ago about, oh, many relationships won't survive. And he's like, now on the other side, a year into it, more than that, I can't believe how many relationships have ended. It was not a general statement. Every relationship on this earth is being tested right now, and very few will survive this one, except for the ones that are real karmically tied to each other. Now, here's the good news about you being a Hecate. I'm glad the relationship just ended, because going into this new upcoming year, starting in January, you start a completely new shift, which is for people born in the star Hecate, where it is about rejuvenation in relationships. So the relationship that just ended has, there's two options for you in the future. One, a brand new relationship will come in probably in January or February, or this one will return and end up a completely different type of relationship in your life.
Mm-hmm. And those are the possibilities. I've seen that.
Yeah, the possibilities. Either he's going to, the relationship's going to return under a totally new vibration and still fall under the category of a brand new relationship, where someone brand new is coming in the first 2 months of the new year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting, because in my chart, and I don't, yeah, astrologically, numerically, Saturn, my Saturn is 25 degrees in Libra. And in Western, it's in my 11th house, so it's exalted in my chart.
Right. And so in this system, your Saturn will stay in Libra, but it'll be mm-hmm. in the first few degrees of Libra. Again, all Western astrology is off the zodiac by 23 degrees because of the wobble of the Earth's axis, which our ancients, the Egyptians, the Hindus, they work so hard to calculate the positions of the wobble of the Earth's axis. I'm really upset with Western astrologers not using it, because our ancients spent so many hundreds of years building planetariums just to calculate the wobble of the Earth's axis, yet Western astrology is the only form that doesn't use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really fascinating.
So read and Hecate. Read your sign Hecate. You're a Sagittarius. I can even feel that you're a fire sign. If you sat mm-hmm. in front of me and didn't give me birth date, I could tell through your voice, because there's a very specific voice between Earth signs, fire signs, air signs. It's very specific.
And do the rising signs stay the same? Because I have Sag rising.
Everything changes back 23 degrees, everything, including the rising.
Okay, so that's the same as Vedic also changes back.
Oh, see, this
is Vedic, I would have
my system is Vedic. It's just the older version of Vedic astrology. It's actually the system that created Vedic astrology. This is the original Egyptian system. But in India uses the real zodiac. So does Tibet.
Okay. And then my Mercury is Sag, too, so I've got a lot of Sag in there. Yeah, I like Sag.
Yeah. So just move it all back 23, now officially 24 degrees, because now the zodiac is off the seasons by 24 degrees now, off the real zodiac. So in a couple hundred years, everyone is going to be the wrong sign, everyone. Right now, only 7% stay the same.
Wow. Yeah,
so
that's
this is
really
the point for people that are into astrology like yourself. You got to get out there and help me with this one, because I'm doing this right now on my own, other than India, who uses real astrology. But they love the fact that Western astrology uses the wrong system. They love it. They always say, when you wake up, you'll come and learn from us. And if you don't wake up, then stay with the wrong zodiac. I disagree with that. I believe the world needs the real zodiac.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's time for truth.
That's right.
You know, everything is falling apart. It doesn't work.
And the 27, I don't believe just going from Capricorn to Sag is enough to convince you. I believe this 27 signs will. When you read Hecate, like the lady who called before who was a Porcus, when she goes on my website and reads Porcus, it's encouraging her to become a psychic. Hecate uh-huh. is a mystical, mystical flavor, and it's very, very case-specific that when you read it, you'll go, okay, yeah, that's me. So there,
right.
it's get into these 27. Forget about whether you're Capricorn or Sag. Get into these 27. My book right now, Austarian Astrology, is out, but I have another one coming out at the end of the year, which is just about the 27, and it's a fun book, very social book about these 27 signs.
All right, I'm on your website
now. The information about your books on your website. I see for those of you who just want to know what sign you are, there is the 27 stars and the 12 signs. That's going, and there's a lot of information as far as that. And I guess the books are available on Amazon, or
yes, they're available pretty much everywhere, but Amazon is the best place to find them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I don't see that. I don't actually see that. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of stuff on this website, so make sure everybody.
There's a part that says shop. It's one of the
oh, right.
It's
a
classes
like that's
and
where
shop,
the class
and it's under the shop.
Shop. What a novel idea. That's where the book would be. Okay, perfect. Anyway, yeah, everybody go over there and take a look. But there is a lot of really good stuff. We only have 10 minutes left, so we're gonna, and we've got tons of callers. I feel bad that for those of you who have been on hold for a long time, we'll try to go fast. And I'm going to try to be quiet. Okay, so now we have 949.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I want to be real quick. I was checking to see what was going to happen or anything of interest happening here in the month of November. I was born June 17, 1962 at 8 o'clock in the morning.
You're Prometheus. Ah, yeah, and you stay Gemini, by the way. You don't change because you're very late Gemini in wrong astrology, very early Gemini in proper astrology. But you're Prometheus. Which really bothered me when the movie came out, by the way, because I'm, like, trying to launch these names, and then these movies come out with these names in them. But, yeah, you're Prometheus, which is that we call it the seeker, someone who's constantly seeking information. They're why people, always asking why. And once they really zone in on what they're looking for, they become very, very powerful people. But we call it the sign of the seeker. The animal is a snake that rules over Prometheus. You asked me a very interesting question about the month of November. The month of November is a drag. We just had an eclipse in Libra last Sunday. Mercury is retrograde right now, making communication off. You are ruled by Mercury. So I would say the month of November is about centering in on your spiritual life. For you, you enter very interesting financial changes for the better in June of next year. When Jupiter goes into Cancer, in May, it moves into the second house from your sun. The summer of next year is going to be a very big time for you with potentially of changing property and financial gain. But the month of November, focus on your meditation or your spiritual path.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Francine. I can't hear you, by the way. Okay, now I can hear you. My birthday is 8/24/70.
August 24th?
And I just want to see when things are going to be picking up. And I am psychic and have all the abilities, so I don't know if that's a part of all that.
Well, you're going to get ready to find out in this system. You are a Persephone. Now, did you say August 28th?
No, 4th.
August 4th.
No, 24th.
Oh, 24th. Okay, got it. Making sure. Yeah, you stay Persephone. Persephone is the first bright star inside the constellation Leo. Persephone is the name of the goddess of the underworld. She was a goddess of spring and the goddess of the underworld both. You know, we're here on a spiritual show, so it's going to sound like I'm telling everybody that there are these spiritual signs. Well, oddly enough, so far, the ones that have been used are generally based on the spiritual path. Persephone is the queen of the underworld. She's part of, and she's very much associated with Hecate in mythology as being the two women of mysticism, so to speak. I will state this about you. You've been going through really intense transitions since 2007, and you need to go back and look at 2007 to where you're at now because you're under 1 7-year cycle that ends in 2014, it ends in February. But that 7-year transition was about the underworld. See, Persephone is a goddess of spring, and she's a goddess of the underworld. Persephone people have been in the underworld for 7 years now, and which means they've been learning a lot about their spiritual side, their transformative side, their intense side. But it's been also somewhat of a gloomy time. You shift into the sun and her solar side in February. And you will actually feel like you energetically return to a place 10 to 15 years ago with new consciousness of the change of the last couple of years. So, yeah, you're coming out of the underworld February of next year. You're going to move into the sun, and you're going to feel life directing itself in totally different channels for the better. You're going to like next year. Specifically in February.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, because, you're literally right. I dealt with some really dark crap this particularly just these last 3 to 4 years, to be quite honest, but some really, really dark stuff as my gifts started to just blossom.
Well, that's what this phase has been about, sending you into the underworld to go through deep transitions but yet access your spiritual power.
What's the purpose of the going through transition of underworld for this world?
Good question. The underworld in ancient time was where the deities or gods would go to learn hidden mysticism. And so it would, the underworld represents mysticism that is hidden or unseen or unknown other than to great aspirants or spiritual seekers. And so going into the underworld and you would indicate you learning something profound than to bring that information onto this planet. And so, yes, you are going into these places to bring that energy and that information forth to Earth.
Mm.
Yeah, but the underworld is where we go, where human beings go when they would have to learn something deep, powerful, or very challenging in some respects. And that's why a lot of psychics can be burdened by the visions that they see, because the underworld would often be connected to, you know, untimely events, natural disasters, untimely death. The underworld was where those energies were formulated. Not evil, by the way, because some people associate the underworld to evil, and it's not. It's where people go to learn very hidden forms of mysticism. Tartarus was hell. That was the darkest part of the underworld. But nevertheless, people go into these places to learn something so they can bring it to this planet.
But it goes back to also what you said. It's to determine what our reaction is going to be to all these, because they're all just object forms, correct?
That's right. You see, astrology is not your choices. No one can ever tell you what you're going to choose to do. But astrology is the spiritual weather for a person. And, you know, like an example, a couple can come in to see me, and I have the right as an astrologer to say, you're going to have the hardest year you've ever had. But I can't say you're going to get a divorce, because that's interference then. Because they could choose to weather the storm and become stronger through it. That's how free will works. But I can definitely tell people you're going to have a hard time or a great time and where it's going to be around. And that's the job of an astrologer, is to analyze energy.
Right. Okay. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for that insight.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
That's okay. We are to 209.
Hi, my name is Pamela.
Hi, Pamela.
And my birth date is July 19th, 1964.
Did you say July 19th?
Yes.
Oh, you are a cusp in my system. So you are either, depending on your time of birth, an Artemis or another Zeus.
It was 9:30 p.m.
So that probably leans you more towards a Zeus. Now, we had an earlier caller that was born under Zeus, and this is very unique for people to be the same sign, because this is a 27-sign system. So I'm going to say something that applied to her that's going to apply to you. This year was not meant to be an easy year. As a matter of fact, the sun has been squaring, or Saturn's been squaring your sun off and on throughout this whole year. So you also get the same information that next year is going to be so much easier energetically for you. And Jupiter, the planet of good luck and fortune, enters Cancer in May and hits your sign. So you're going to have a very big summer too. The summer is going to be a very transitional time for the better, and you're going to have a lot of things that have been stagnant really open up. And it also improves your relationships tremendously. Going into the summer, you'll find your relationships to get much easier.
Great. Okay, yeah, no, I'm hoping to move April.
Perfect time to move. I would guess that you will move, because that was also some of the information I mentioned to someone else. This Jupiter going into Cancer, see, Cancer rules over property, rules over our connection to the mother and connection to property that we own. Jupiter is a planet of good luck. So a lot of Cancers, which I know how weird it is being called a Cancer when you've been calling yourself a Leo throughout your whole life, but a lot of Cancers are going to move next year.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely doing it. Okay, great. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, we have 1 minute and 40 seconds left, so we're going to put in 330 and 330207, and we're going to have to go.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I'll be real quick. I was just wondering if you saw anything for me, such as like dropping dead. I just have this feeling I'm just going to just go. My birthday is March 1st, 1978, born at 10:28 a.m.
Here's what you're experiencing. You're experiencing a memory, not an intuition. It's happened to you in a previous life. No, you're not going to drop dead anytime soon, but you have before. And your particular sign, which is Chimera, I stress, openly remembers the ways they've died in previous lives. And so they often have these weird and random anxieties about death. I do believe in your most recent life, you died suddenly, and you're remembering it. No, you're not going to die like that.
Well, now that I'm not going to drop dead, do you see anything good happening for me? At all?
You have Neptune, and Neptune has been on your back for quite some time, and you got some time left. I'm still going through this really intense emotional transition that's going on in your chart. 2014 also furthers a lot of this energy you're going through. I would highly recommend using 2014 to spiritually rejuvenate yourself and to go as deep as you can on your spiritual path. It is 2015 when you come out of this. And what I've been saying for some, 2014 is their year. For you, that's 15. Next year is about realigning with a new self. The last couple of years have been about wiping out who you were and what you represented. That's now changed. And next year is about you standing into something new, and you'll be rewarded for that in 2015.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. Well, we are out of time, and for those callers who were just listening off the computer, we very rudely just dropped you. But this is a fascinating show. I think it's given everyone an awful lot to just think about, and hopefully we can have you back again. But I'm certainly all in on this, so I will be spreading the word that we need to. It just cracks me up. It just cracks me up how we will, just play games with the truth and so many aspects of our life because it's more convenient. You know, oh, it's just easier that way. You know, it's just easier that way. And it's just, I think we're coming to a period of time in our civilization where that's just not working anymore. You know, the information is out there and it's just not working anymore. So I'm really looking forward to reading up more about this and hopefully getting my chart done, and hopefully having you back on the show. Hopefully
I would
you back
love
on the
to
show
come
sometime.
Back, and thank Wait. You so much for having me.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure everybody, we've got a lot of loyal listeners here, and I think that everybody's very excited about it. I think everybody had like a little bit of a, wow, you know, like, okay, that makes sense. And that's how what you are presenting makes sense, is that what you shared with the callers resonated to their experience, the jewelry they have in their jewelry box. So I think that's really exciting. I wish you the best, and I look forward to having you back on the show. So thank you so much. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome,
much.
And I look forward to coming back. Thank you.
Awesome. Take care. Bye, everybody.